Hi, I'm Siobhan Fletcher and welcome to the latest edition of our newscast.
I'm Philip Matthews and I'm the chair of Amnesty International Isle of Man Group.
And so we're talking today about these Friday vigils. They've become a bit of a mainstay, really. We've seen them every week. And we can talk about last week where you kind of had record numbers. But I suppose, first of all, can you just tell me what made you organise them in the first place and tell me a little bit about how it's grown?
Yes. Well, Amnesty's been involved with the issue of Gaza and Palestine and the West Bank for years and years. We've had campaigns. We've done events before in the past. But basically, it wasn't Amnesty that started the awareness raising on the Isle of Man. An amazing group of young people, mainly musicians and poets and creative people, created a group called Kerjean Palestine. And they were the ones who organised the original demonstrations outside the Sefton. They also organised fundraising events. And I was invited, as they knew I was part of Amnesty, to come and give speeches at those events. And at that time, Amnesty, I wasn't actually even in Amnesty anymore, but I was invited along and people said, where's the Amnesty group? What's happening with Amnesty? And to be honest, at that time, it was the resurgence of an Amnesty group that had been quiet for a couple of years. And the one thing we could help them with, because they had their own objectives and their own actions, we had the experience of lobbying Timbald, so we offered to organise that aspect, which was to write to MHKs, because 2 days after the Hamas attack in October, our chief minister made a public statement condemning that, quite rightly, on behalf of the Manx people. But for the next 6 months, there was complete silence about the atrocities that were starting to happen as a result of the Israeli response. So we started writing to MHKs. The responses were really good from most Timbald members. They supported the idea that we should make a statement, but they did keep referring to advice they'd been given that the Isle of Man is not allowed to speak out on international issues independent of the UK. We had found a document at that point called the Framework Agreement in 2007, which stated quite clearly that the Isle of Man has its own international identity and should speak out on international issues as a responsible, stable and mature democracy. Many members of Timbald weren't aware of that. Anyway, this led to a motion in Timbald in April last year from Joni Farragher, but it was put forward by Michelle Hayward. It was watered down from what we were asking, which is understandable, but then it was further watered down when it got to Comyn and the Chief Minister, who, from what we gather from the Hansard, it was actually drafted in conjunction with the UK government's advice. So it was a very weak document which didn't serve the purpose that we felt, which was to distance ourselves from the alleged UK complicity in what is now accepted as a genocide in Gaza. The huge Amnesty report, 250 pages, came out in December. Most humanitarian organisations accept that. So we didn't really do what we asked, but we let that go for a while. We did organise a huge vigil in October to mark 1 year since the start of the conflict, and that was 150 more people. It was pouring with rain, so we ended up in St Thomas's Church. But all the time last year, people were asking, why can we not meet weekly? Because we were aware that every Amnesty group in Britain was taking part in weekly vigils, usually on a Friday, and we were one of the few, possibly the only one, that wasn't. Some of them were actually organised by the local Amnesty groups. I've attended some of them. I've attended one in Liverpool. I attended one in Bristol. I also took part in a couple in London. But then towards the end of last year, it looked like peace negotiations. It looked like things were starting to happen and there might be some resolution. As we know now, it got worse. There was a ceasefire earlier this year. It was broken by Israel in March, and that's when we decided, because there was demand from people. In the meantime, we'd attracted 100 new members to our group as well, and so we felt we had enough people to help with the organisation of these vigils. So these vigils started when the ceasefire ended and when the Israeli government commenced Operation Gideon's Chariot, which is now being fully covered by the media in the UK, and people are much more aware of what is happening in Gaza now. So we've held them every week. They started with a small number, and there's been an incredible spirit at these vigils. People from all walks of life. We've had members of Timbald there. We've had religious leaders there. People from so many different countries, young and old. And it's been a great spirit. We've had different themes. We've had a theme one week when Easter Holy Week, we concentrated on the plight of Christians in Palestine. Holocaust Memorial Week, we actually gave readings from Holocaust victims who were speaking out about the Israeli government. We had the coordinator of Friends of the Earth do a bit about the environmental ecological destruction. So we have different themes. But last Friday, the atmosphere was completely different. We had more than 120 people turn out, and it was very highly emotional because we had decided to display body bags representing children and babies in a line in the sunken gardens. And it was very emotional. There were people that were upset by that. They were holding pictures of children that had been killed, named their ages. And we worked out with the statistics that if those body bags had been lined up end to end, they would stretch from those sunken gardens all the way to Ramsey. And that's based on the official figure, which comes from the Gaza Ministry of Health. And in every conflict for the last 20 years, the official figure has always been a total underestimate. It does not include the thousands that are buried under the rubble. It does not include any baby or child or woman that cannot be identified because there's virtually nothing left. So these are the conservative figures that we're basing it on. We're looking at an onslaught now that's specifically aimed targeting women, children, tented refugee camps, hospitals, schools. Over the past year, they've targeted journalists, health workers, doctors, nurses, etc. So it was a very emotional vigil last Friday. We meet every Friday at 6 o'clock at that location, and every now and then there will be a particular theme to the event.
Do you think that then there's a misconception in terms of from our politicians that the Isle of Man can't have its own opinion on this almost? Like, so is the group calling on Tim Wald and politicians to say more and set out maybe a stance that does differ from the UK or from other countries?
Yes, and in recent weeks we've started to write to MHKs again, and we're asking them to revisit that motion from last April. We've also started to now use the phrase that the Isle of Man is complicit in the genocide, and we are calling it a genocide now. It's a textbook genocide. It's acknowledged by majority of the world and most humanitarian organizations. We were originally trying to distance ourselves from the UK's complicity. We're still trying to do that. There is nothing stopping the Isle of Man sending a message to the UK expressing its concerns, and that Jersey did it way before we even passed that motion in April, and that's another crown dependency. Our Celtic cousins, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, they all did it immediately, very, very early on. And we've started to highlight now that there's even more complicity here, because the arms sales are still continuing, and there many organizations are starting to make aware of the components that make up the F-35 fighter jet. And we went to the sites that display this information, found that there's a company on the Isle of Man that is manufacturing essential parts for this fighter jet. They're manufacturing titanium fuselage parts and fan blades. So we're on a map, we're on an interactive map that the world can see that we're actually sending out essential parts for this jet. Which, you know, the UK has started to say things about Israel's actions now, but is still sending the weapons and the arms. We also know that within our finance sector, there are banks, there are insurance and compliance companies that have been and are financing the illegal settlements in the West Bank and arms sales to Israel. So there's even more direct complicity there. And we believe, as I said, referring to those framework documents, that the Isle of Man can take actions itself as well. We are very concerned about our sanctions category for Israel, which is grade A. And we should be reviewing our sanctions classification of Israel, which might be against international law.
What do you say to people who have that view of, you know, it's happening so far away from here? Why should the Isle of Man get involved?
Well, I've just covered that a bit with our idea of the Isle of Man is complicit, and that we don't have to be completely tied in with the UK's position. The UK is becoming isolated in the world now. We're talking about a handful of countries that are still supporting Israel as much as they can in the face of facts that are coming out. We're talking about, you know, the live streaming of war crimes, crimes against humanity. But I understand most of it's on social media. We know that some of it is people who don't even live here. And we ignore most of it that's on social media, but it's understandable considering the lack of information that people are receiving. In recent weeks, we're starting to see more. But this is why we do the vigils as well, to raise awareness. We would like some of those people to come along and meet us and talk to us as well, not just sit on a keyboard and type in a way. So much of what they're saying now has already been disproved, even by the Israeli government itself. The Israeli government and people from the IDF, the military, have admitted time and time again that so many of these stories didn't happen, weren't true. There was an awful lot of propaganda involved and false information. But they're going back to the original story. They're quoting the original headlines that were appearing a year ago, which have been completely disproved now, including about what happened on October the 7th.
Oftentimes, the argument is simplified down to, if you're anti-Israel, you're anti-Semitic. And it's way more complex than that. But I suppose, what's the group's response to that kind of core idea?
Well, I mean, the first response would often be to say, could you tell me what you mean by anti-Semitic and what you mean by Semitic? But we have made sure that there is a statement read out at the start of every vigil. I don't always introduce each vigil. I was away for a couple of weeks recently and some of my colleagues did the vigils. But we have a prepared statement which clarifies what the vigil is about, what it stands for and what it isn't. And I haven't got a copy here with me, but it makes quite clearly that there should be no generalizations extended to Jewish people or Israeli citizens in general. We don't accept anything at these vigils because we have guest speakers and anybody's allowed to talk to speak. And we make it quite clear there should be no expression of hatred towards anybody. It is a vigil. It's not a demonstration. It's a vigil. But we do make it clear that it is. There's a phrase that we use at the start. This is, we are pro-Palestinian, and whatever you interpret that to mean, that is your problem. We know what it means, and that's what the focus of the vigil is about. It is done with respect, it is done without malice, and we are happy with that, and everybody that attends is happy. We've had Jewish people there as guest speakers as well.
And so the vigil, like you said before, has kind of naturally grown in terms of people attending it. And I mean, the imagery from last week in particular with the sort of the body bags and the idea that you said number wise they could spread as far as Ramsey if we put it on an Isle of Man level. Are you encouraged by that natural growth of people, more and more people being drawn to come along to the vigils?
Yes, and as I said, I've witnessed it myself in other cities in Britain as well, and that's what we were hoping to achieve here. I mean, to be honest, that particular vigil, we didn't repeat some of the imagery that was used in ones I've seen in the UK. We thought it would be too shocking, to be honest. But what has been amazing is there is parts of the vigil where we just talk to each other as well, and sharing is an opportunity to share this solidarity, to share the grief and outrage, and rather than people being on their own. And that's the feedback we've had. We've had so much thanks from people saying, you know, I'm so happy that you've organized this and that you are keeping it in the public consciousness, because until recently the media wasn't, and in our part of the world. So that is, it's an awful thing to say, but it's one of the good things that's come out of it. And it has grown organically, and all visitors have accepted, all people who've come to see us have accepted what we're doing. And we've even had holidaymakers come off the boat walking along the front with their suitcases, and they've stopped before they go to the hotel and spend time with us when they came across it.
You mentioned as well that when you initially contacted Tynwald members and you said that a couple of Tynwald members have attended some vigils as well, that you were encouraged by a lot of the responses, but a lot of them haven't sort of necessarily put out their stall publicly on what they think. Would you like to see more of them actually do that, come out and yeah, give their stance on the whole conflict?
Well, we are pleased. We were pleased that they came in person to our vigils. We were pleased that they have openly replied in emails that aren't confidential to state their case. I think some of them are frustrated. They're frustrated. There always tends to be this idea that we mustn't upset Westminster, and it could be coming down from Cabinet Office, but that's a personal opinion. But I think it's about time we did speak out. I mean, all we hear is that the Isle of Man wants to increase its international standing, and as a mature, you know, place, then we have responsibilities to speak out on issues like this. We totally feel that when they come back with this argument that we can't speak out, we say, can you just send us the... Nobody has ever sent us the evidence either. We've sent them some evidence that they could contradict, but they've not sent us the evidence that we're not allowed to speak out. I think they... And this has happened in some of our previous campaigns as well that we've done over the last 20 years. I think it's important that they make a stand on this, and that there is something said, or at the very least communicate to the UK, because I feel there is a majority within Turnbull that do agree with what we're asking.
We're also living in an age, like you say, as well, of kind of like a... You've mentioned the media a few times, but like a fake news era of what's real, what's not, and people question everything. But there are obviously humanitarian organisations on the ground there. You mentioned earlier an Amnesty report and things like this. So for Amnesty International, what information are you being handed that you know goes to inform things like this vigil?
Yeah, well, I do encourage people to visit our Facebook site, which is public, because we try to share as much of this information as possible. There are so many media outlets around the world that you can access as well. And of course, there's got to be an element of critical thinking here. You've got to think, where is this information coming from? But it has become so clear that the media in the UK... there's been some sort of an agenda, I'm afraid, to say as little as possible about what's happening in Gaza and the West Bank. Because we mustn't forget the West Bank, because while the eyes are on Gaza, Israel's gone back into the West Bank and is increasing the illegal settlements and arming all the settlers, and atrocities are being committed there as well. It is a matter of looking at other media outlets as well, but Amnesty and other organisations have shared this information.
So is there anything else that we've not covered that you want to add at all?
Yes, we talked about the vigil last Friday. We're planning to have one event a month that is slightly different from the usual format of our vigils. And we are really pleased to announce that on Friday the 13th of June, we have invited a Palestinian journalist and filmmaker to the Isle of Man. There will be a screening of his new film, which is called The Phoenix of Gaza. He will be here in person to answer questions. There'll be a Q&A session as well. So it's a chance for people to meet somebody who can answer many more questions than I can. His name is Youssef Al-Helou. He happened to be visiting his family in Gaza in August 2023. And he took all his film equipment with him, and he has produced the most amazing film of ordinary everyday life in Gaza in the month before all of this started. So you have a chance to see what Gaza was like. It was premiered in London in January. It has won 3 awards at independent film festivals already. He is now traveling to many countries to present this film. Sadly, his sister and her 7 children were killed in December 2023, and their bodies are still buried under the rubble. He has also lost many, many other members of his family, and as a journalist, many of his journalist colleagues have also been killed. He describes it as a love letter to Gaza, the place of his birth. And I do encourage people to buy tickets for this film. There's not many left. It's happening at Promenade Church Douglas on the 13th of June at 7 p.m. and tickets are £5.
Thank you again to Phil Matthews, the chair of Amnesty International Isle of Man Group. Manx Radio put Phil's comments to the Isle of Man government for a response. At the time of publication, we've yet to receive one.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.